Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Tuesday, February 6th. Four straight wins for the Detroit Pistons, and now we expect those winning ways to continue. This is your host, Matt Shook, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Follow us on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well at Locked On Pistons, and also we got a Facebook page now. Follow us there at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook, and I've been covering the team, well, following the team my whole life and covering the team all season. I've been a 12-year newspaper reporter and also an Associated Press professional sports reporter here in Chicago as well. I got the Bulls Magic game coming up next week, so excited to cover that one for the Associated Press as well. We're going to be looking back today at the win on Monday night against the Portland Trailblazers for the Pistons, a big win, the fourth straight win for the team, as we mentioned. And also, we're going to be looking at the Pistons at one of the best contracts in the NBA and who it is and who the surprise has been and who the Pistons can expect to have on their roster next season with that great deal as well. And we're also going to be looking at the NBA Midseason Awards that the Locked On Network podcast host voted on, and a couple of surprises in there, and wanted to talk about my votes as well as what the hosts around the league came up with. But the Pistons picked up their fourth straight victory, 111-91 on Monday night against the Portland Trailblazers, moving the team back to 500 on the season at 26-26, a thin crowd at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Not thin crust, but a thin crowd. Largely because of the weather in Metro Detroit. I think, you know, a Monday night crowd doesn't get a lot anyway, but a lot of snow in the area probably kept some people away. I know there were some snow days in schools around Metro Detroit. So obviously, congratulations to the students and teachers listening for that. But the win tied the Pistons with Philadelphia for the eighth spot. I think the tiebreaker goes to Philly because they've got the season series lead on the Pistons, but 4.5 games, the Pistons only separate them beyond the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are in the third spot in the Eastern Conference standings. So a lot of moving could be done, obviously, over the next few months. And there's no spots too far out of reach for the Pistons. You could still be talking about home court in the first round if the post-All-Star break road goes pretty well for Detroit. And who knows? And we're at the scoreboard watching a little bit, but it's tough to do so early in the season. Obviously, you got teams like Indiana and Washington playing each other on Monday, and it's hard to say who you're even rooting for in that game. I mean, basically, if you're the Pistons, you just try to keep winning as much as possible and maybe let that other stuff shake themselves out. Obviously, paying a little bit more attention as fans to the games that are against some of those teams in the Eastern Conference. Think of things like the nice win on Saturday against Miami, but for the most part, still got to take care of the Western Conference teams and the bad teams as well. The Pistons will have a few of those bad teams coming up here in the next stretch. The Pistons were up 13 late in the first half against the Trailblazers. Nearly blew the lead right before half, but came out with a great third quarter and put Portland away in the fourth. Andre Drummond had 17 points and 17 rebounds. Blake Griffin, in his third game with the Detroit Pistons, had 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. Reggie Bullock, 13. The bench was strong as well. Anthony Tolliver had 15 points, 13 for Langston Galloway, and 12 for Luke Kennard, who was questionable for the game during the early parts of Monday with the toe injury that caused him to miss Saturday night's game, but he played and played well for the Detroit Pistons. A little bit of notes as well. Reggie Hearn shot and made his first NBA attempt, a three-pointer from the corner. So congratulations to Reggie, one of the two-way players from Grand Rapids. And the other two-way player from Grand Rapids Drive in the G League was Kay Felder, who also got his first time in as a Detroit Piston as he played in garbage time alongside Reggie Hearn in the backcourt with Langston Galloway, who was still hoisting those three-pointers despite the rookies getting in there a little bit. But the Kay Felder of Detroit, who played at Pershing, the Doughboy, he was the first Oakland University player to ever play for the Detroit Pistons. So congratulations to the Golden Grizzlies fans out there and to Kay Felder as well. A rotation note that we noted was the centers, as Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin pretty much monopolized that spot for Stan Van Gundy in his rotation. Eric Moreland got the DNP, and Willie Reed, acquired in the Blake Griffin trade from the Clippers, he only played 3 minutes, and that was at the end in garbage time. So Stan Van either went with the Twin Towers inside. I shouldn't use the Twin Towers. That's a little bit of a played-out cliche. But Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, whatever nickname has come up with them over the years, and maybe listeners have some ideas of what might be some good nicknames for them, but it was either those two together or one or the other playing at the center position. So something to note as time goes on with Stan Van Gundy. Obviously, that has a lot to do with the fact that the center position for Portland is just Yusuf Nurkic right now. He's not someone that's very tough to cover. He's just kind of a banger, then both those guys can kind of handle him. So as time goes on, we'll see, and obviously foul trouble will play a part in the rotation in different games as well, and how Willie Reed comes along with his new team and if he's able to get some of that energy out there and impress in his time that he does get with the Pistons. But for Portland, Damian Lillard had 20 points. Portland ended its third game in 4 days, road trip with three losses. CJ McCollum had a forgettable game. He had 14. One of those schedule losses for Portland is that they had a tough stretch and the Pistons took advantage of it. The Portland Trailblazers, they're in a similar logjam as the Pistons in the bottom half slash right outside of the Western Conference playoffs. They're barely in right now. Identical records with the Denver Nuggets, tied for sixth, technically in the seventh spot of the Western Conference playoffs right now. Pistons coming up, the five games left before the All-Star break, and they are all extremely winnable. The hope shouldn't be by the All-Star break that you're not just back into the playoffs. They're almost there already, but the hope should be that you could get a cushion for when the schedule does get tough again, and it will. The Pistons have one home game after the break against Boston, and then after that, they'll hit the road. 11 of 14 of their next games are on the road, including a tough six-game road trip out west in the middle of March. But this one right now, in the present time, it could be a nine-game winning streak when all is said and done, or possibly four out of their next five, making it an 8-9 stretch. The Pistons play against the Brooklyn Nets at home on Wednesday, and then against the Clippers in the Blake Griffin reunion game on Friday on ESPN, and then Sunday afternoon in Atlanta, and then home games again before the All-Star break with the New Orleans Pelicans, who are, of course, without DeMarcus Cousins these days, on Monday evening, and then Wednesday night closing the quote-unquote first half of the season before the All-Star break with another game against the Atlanta Hawks, one of the worst teams in the NBA, on Valentine's Day night. So if you're still looking for a date for Valentine's Day, maybe your lady would like to see some Detroit Pistons action in downtown Detroit. But after the break, we're going to be talking about one of what might be one of the best contracts in the NBA, and it's right on the Detroit Pistons roster. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted 18 to 44 demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. If you're a Detroit company trying to reach Detroit fans, this is the perfect spot for you here on Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be taking a look at the Locked On Network midseason NBA awards list, but not just good feelings for the Detroit Pistons after the Blake Griffin trade from last week. The Clippers are now 2-0 after beating Dallas. Tobias Harris, our old friend, had 19 points. Avery Bradley with 12. Although the big news with Avery Bradley these days is he's being rumored to be shopped before Thursday's trade deadline quite a bit. He's been tied to Oklahoma City and Utah in rumors, and also Zach Lowe of ESPN.com had him possibly going to Golden State as well, kicking the tires on him being a bench player for the Warriors as well. Brian Windhorst of ESPN also said he believes that Avery Bradley will be traded and the price will be less than a first-round pick. So speaking of contracts and dumping contracts and having good contracts so you don't have to dump other contracts, one of the best contracts in the NBA is with the Detroit Pistons right now. Now, you can make a case for guys like LeBron James and Stephen Curry always being the best contracts in the NBA because those guys probably deserve $100 million a year and not the $30, $35 million that they're getting right now. But I'm going to point to an article from James Edwards III of The Athletic, friend of the pod, and I'm going to give another plug to subscribe to The Athletic. As you see, if you follow on Twitter or follow sports journalism news, it's like every other day, The Athletic adds another big name journalist. I wonder about the bubble for that, by the way, not to put the fear of God in any of the Athletic guys, but what's the end of the road for some of these people that they're going to be paying for and getting, and how long is this thing going to be sustainable? But anyway, hopefully you should subscribe and join in on the fun while we can anyway. But the title is Why the Pistons' Reggie Bullock Might Be the NBA's Best 3-and-D Bargain. That was an article that James put up, I believe, on Monday about Reggie Bullock. Reggie is the 11th highest paid Piston at $2.5 million this year with a team option for next year as well. With all the talk about rookie deals, Bullock gets paid $250,000 less than Luke Kennard, who is on one of those very affordable and attractive rookie deals. By the way, Josh Smith, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, and everyone who follows the Pistons closely knows about it, but he got bought out about 10, 15, 20 years ago, it seems like now, as the Pistons used the stretch provision on him, meaning they had the buyout not cost the cap as much immediately, but stretch it out over a number of years for a smaller amount. And Josh Smith gets paid more than double this year by the Pistons than Bullock does at $5.3 million. I'm still not clear, though, if Josh is still collecting checks with the Pistons or if he just got the lump sum like a lottery winner, by the way, and if it's just a cap hit that the Pistons have on them for the next, by the way, two more seasons. Josh Smith is going to be costing the Pistons $5.3 million of cap room. That coupled with the huge deals for Griffin and big deals for Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, and swings and misses on John Luehr, and to a lesser extent, Langston Galloway. All those things make Reggie Bullock's deal all that more important. And if you've been following since he joined the starting lineup and started getting big minutes for Stan Van Gundy's team, Reggie Bullock has been a big-time contributor for the Detroit Pistons. He leads the NBA in three-point percentage for qualified shooters since December 12th when he joined the league. A lot of these stats are cherry-picked from James Edwards' story, so you should check that out on The Athletic, by the way. Reggie's effective field goal percentage, which kind of adds the efficiency of three-point scoring into the field goal percentage mix. It's a pretty simple formula. They just tack on some bonus points for you, basically, if you make a lot of three-pointers. He's second in the NBA since mid-December, about the time of my dad's birthday, by the way. Also, James has some defensive numbers from Synergy in there that list Reggie Bullock is one of the league's best isolation defenders. So actually, at the flat fraction of the salary cost, Bullock's on-court numbers stack up to guys like Danny Green of San Antonio and KCP of LA, the LA Lakers. And oh my gosh, if you're a Pistons fan, can you even imagine if he and the Pistons did agree to that long-term deal? But obviously, much happier for the Pistons in terms of value to be getting Reggie Bullock than those two guys. Some of the other big best contracts around the league, I took a trip around the SpotTrack website and checked out some of the best deals in the NBA. Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets, who we'll see on Wednesday night, former Piston, of course, $1.6 million this year and next year. He might be an attractive trade chip at the deadline. Wouldn't be surprised if Sean Marks makes a deal and sends Spencer Dinwiddie to someone who needs some bench scoring as well. Kemba Walker, who's making $12 million this year and next, obviously a lot more than Reggie Bullock's making, but Kemba Walker is a fringe all-star type of player, whereas Reggie Bullock's just a nice, attractive piece on the side of some stars. Nikola Jokic probably has the best deal. Now, I'm excluding rookie contracts into this equation, and Nikola Jokic was a second-round pick, so he doesn't have technically that rookie-scale deal that first-round picks did, but he makes about $1.5 million a year. Denver's going to have a tough choice this summer whether to have him play out the next couple of years and risk losing him as an unrestricted free agent in a couple of years, or possibly as a restricted free agent sooner than that as well. So they might want to extend him and take out some of the affordability of the last year of his deal next year for the chance to lock him up for a little bit longer before he hits the open market. So that's probably the best contract in the NBA, but Reggie Bullock's certainly nothing to scoff at if you're the Pistons or any team around the league, really. So it might seem redundant when they picked up Reggie Bullock. I believe he was the last addition to this Pistons roster before the season started. You had John Luehr, you had Stanley Johnson, you had Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, Anthony Tolliver, Luke Kennard. All those guys played certain roles in terms of kind of that wing spot, that 2-3-4, you know, mix of positions there. Seemed like a crowded roster of wings late in the summer when they signed him, but that might have been Stan's best move of last summer as we look back. But we're going to be taking a look in a little bit at the Locked On Network NBA Midseason Awards list, which I voted on. I'll reveal my selections as well. But we've got a new coach in Detroit. So Matt Patricia was officially hired on Monday by the Detroit Lions. You should be listening all about it on the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. Check that out every day. Check out the other NBA and NFL podcasts, one for each of those teams. So check out the Locked On Network, your team every day. Another Pistons note from Monday, Andre Drummond was announced as the Eastern Conference Player of the Week for his great start with his new running mate, Blake Griffin, for two of those games anyway. Drummond's week included a 23-point, 20-rebound effort against the Miami Heat on Saturday. The big man averaged 19 points and 19 rebounds in the three wins against Cleveland, Memphis, and Miami at home. Well, the Locked On Podcast Network, the NBA hosts, did some midseason award voting, and I wanted to send along those results to you guys as well. James Harden picked up the NBA's MVP for the midseason from the Locked On podcast host. 21 votes. I was one of those people who voted for the Houston Rockets star. Stephen Curry was second with 8 votes. LeBron James got 4 votes as well. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, by the way. Ugh, I don't know. My disdain for those two guys comes through way too much on this podcast, I know. But Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook each got 2 votes apiece in this, and also Jimmy Butler of the Timberwolves got 1 vote. Rookie of the Year, 26 votes for Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers. I was one of those 26, although you can make a good case for Donovan Mitchell as well. He picked up 9 votes. I got no problem with people voting for Donovan Mitchell as well. And certainly Mitchell might be able to close out Simmons and get the Rookie of the Year at the end of the year from him. 1 apiece on votes for Jason Tatum. Gotta love those Celtics voters. And then 1 for Kyle Kuzma as well for the other. There was 1 other vote from the other category, and Lonzo Ball was the only one listed as well. So the vote on other certainly wasn't for Lonzo Ball, but we're not sure who that would be. Maybe it was Luke Kennard. Who knows? But like I said, I voted for Ben Simmons. Coach of the Year, speaking of those Celtics voters, 14 votes for Brad Stevens. Greg Popovich and Dwayne Casey each got 7 votes apiece to tie for second place. Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat was next with 6, followed by Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets with 2 votes, and then 2 other votes as well. So not sure who those other votes were going for. I voted for Dwayne Casey of the Raptors, who I was one of 7 people to vote for him. Lots of great candidates on that list, though I got no squabbles with any of those guys mentioned as being the Coach of the Year candidates. The All-NBA team, according to the Locked On Network podcast hosts, the guards were Steph Curry and James Harden. I voted for both of those guys. Kyrie was a few votes off of getting onto the first team for that. The forward spots went to Kevin Durant and LeBron James. I voted for LeBron but went with Giannis for my second vote. He was a few votes off of that. He was a few votes off one of the forward spots of the All-NBA team there. And for the center position, we were limited and had to vote for the big men that were on the list. DeMarcus Cousins got the most votes. He got 14 of them. Maybe that was a little bit of a sympathy vote as we voted after he got the injury. But obviously the New Orleans Pelicans center is putting in a good season as well. Joel Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns each tied for second with 8 votes. But my votes didn't go to any of those 3 guys, and it didn't go to the hometown guy either. I didn't make a homer pick. But my vote was for the next guy with the understanding that, like I said, I would rather have Giannis as maybe a small ball 5 or Kevin Durant as a small ball 5. Not that that's too realistic for those guys to be playing those positions, but he'd like to put the 5 best players on the All-NBA team as opposed to shoehorning in a center. But I voted for Al Horford of the Boston Celtics. I left Kyrie off the team, and I figured that Horford does a lot for those Celtics. I thought that Karl-Anthony Towns was pretty bad early. Joel Embiid, maybe I'm a little biased in not voting for him. I just feel like he needs to accomplish a little bit more and be on the court a little bit more as a player before we start lauding him as the next great NBA star like a lot of people are. And Cousins, if you listen to this podcast, you know my disdain for his team, you know, his lack of being a good teammate. And I think that that factors in to the larger scheme of basketball more than stats and double-doubles and whatnot. I was one of 5 people who voted for Horford, by the way. Andre Drummond of the Pistons got no votes. He was the only Pistons rep on the ballot for anything. DeAndre Jordan and Nikola Jokic each got a vote as well. And there was 1 other selection. And like I said, Drummond was on the ballot, so it's not possible that that other vote was for him. So, but maybe they did vote for Eric Moreland, though. You never know. So I guess we can't definitively say that no Pistons got votes. And maybe Stan Van Gundy got one of the other 2 other coaches' votes as well. Who knows? But we're going to be back with you guys on Wednesday's podcast to be previewing the game against the Brooklyn Nets. Also, seeing if there's any scuttlebutt going around before the NBA trade deadline on Thursday regarding the Detroit Pistons. But follow us on Twitter for that. Also follow the Lockdown NBA Network at Lockdown NBA Net. And give us a follow and a like on Facebook at the Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook page as well. But thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you all again soon.